We have therefore a belief that there is something beyond this life. And the moment we believe this, we break faith or break contact with materialism. Now, semantically, materialism is a bad word anyway, because no matter what you say with it, you're not sure of anything. Materialism is the assumption that there is nothing beyond this life. This assumption is not provable. The difficulty with it is the same as with every use of a term that should be approached semantically, but is approached literally. In semantics, we might say that resurrection is a symbol word, a word which carries with it upward change, an unfoldment. The bud is resurrected as the flower, and the flower is resurrected in the seed. A resurrection is the release of a moreness, a greaterness, from within that which is less than itself, apparently. So actually, immortality is the right of every human being to grow. It is the right of the individual who has an enemy to get over it. It is the right of an individual whose morals are poor to improve his character. It is not only enough for him to prevent breaking laws, which are the laws of the state, but by breaking sins, which are the laws of the soul. We therefore find that from the beginning, all beliefs, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, Brahmin, Confucian, Taoist, all beliefs have one belief in common, and that is that it all means something. That there is something that is hope. There is something that is growth. There's something that is reality. There's something that is integrity in these doctrines. And against that is a rather cold, icy statement that we can't prove it, that we can't actually prove that these things are true. Yet we can prove it in a way. We prove it every year with the death and resurrection of plants. We prove it all the time with the rise and fall and rise again of faith within ourselves. We find our own lives changing, and sometimes beautiful things happen when we think we've come to the end. There's always hope. St. Paul lists hope as one of the great hopes for mankind. Life, love, hope. These are the great beliefs for which there can be no substitute. So we can take a word like love and approach that semantically. And we can find every kind of love you can think of, from the individual who loves a hand at poker to the individual who wants to change the course of religious history. We can have all kinds of love. Love of family, love of beauty, love of children, love of God, love of nature. All these things are part of love. And it is the duty of our inner life to allow this love to grow. Now, when it grows up, it does not discard what it loved before. It picks it up and carries it into a higher level. The artist who painted very mediocre things when not very good gets an enlightenment. He keeps on painting, but all of a sudden, a new quality comes into his art. And this is particularly noticeable in Oriental art, and especially in the paintings of Sesshu. Sesshu was a Zen master, and he ascended through all the levels of the Zen teaching. And a Zen master, going into an art gallery and looking at the paintings of Sesshu, will say, ah, this painting, he had achieved the third level of enlightenment. That painting, he was in the fourth degree. This painting, in the fifth degree. But this little sketch here goes back to the first degree. But gradually, through his art, you can discover the development of his own life. Until finally, in the great scroll of Sesshu, he achieves the fullness. For he attains in this picture the full expression of the reality of existence. These things are all told in the things that he does. Now, this would be semantics. Sessions' Great Scroll is a masterpiece of semantics and is so judged as one of the most valuable paintings in the world. But this is part of a growth upward through various degrees. We can start in by being a family cook and end by becoming cooks of eternity. We can do all kinds of common things, and because of the integrity in ourselves, these common things become uncommon. They become tremendously valuable, and they show a release of integrities. So we can say that the family was not getting along well, suddenly gets better, and suddenly better things happen, and we say it's growth. And we send another family that was getting along fairly well, and now it's all in dope and narcotics. That family is deteriorating. These things are all part of a great scale. And the purpose of semantics is to make codes and qualities of life consistent with the meaning of words. So that when we say a certain word, we mean a positive contribution to progress. When we say that what essential kindness is, it must be because we are essentially kind. And that this kindness is not simply in our word, but in our practice. For kindness in a word is very flimsy, therefore very poor semantically. But when this word is transmuted into a way of life that continues year after year to this world and beyond, then we are kind. So all around we are using so many beautiful words and using them so badly that we are gradually lowering the thresholds of our integrities. We believe that these words do mean what we think they mean, when in reality, words mean only what the inner consciousness of the person using the word has achieved. If we are inwardly and awakened, the word definition is improved. If we continue to go along as we were, or even descend into a lower stratum of action, then the word does not mean anything. It is just simply a cover for a term. Now, in our work with people in prisons and in our work in various reform agencies, we find constantly the bitter struggle to retain the status quo. The individual doesn't really want to change. The idea of becoming better to him means only one thing. It means that the pickpocket has got to give up picking pockets, which is his way of life and his source of income. Therefore, he will not vote for the laws that abolish pickpockets. And yet it is perfectly probable that in time that law will have to change, or the exoneration will have to change, and people will no longer be entitled to feel sorry for him because he has to pick pockets to live. They will be glad for him when he finds a better way to make a life. All of these things change the meanings of words. They change their uses. They change their philosophies. We find them in medicine. We find them in art, music. We have a tremendous quality of now of popular music, most of which is pretty bad. But it is popular and it makes money. And because it is successful financially, we will have it on television, world without end. But the individual who has to listen to it is going to get sick. And this sickness is going to gradually corrupt him until he believes it also. Wherever the person comes into the presence for the first time of something that to him is wrong, and he knows it, he should not give it a second look. He shouldn't gradually permit himself to be eroded away or convinced by people who do not know either. So we get some all these kinds of things, and we come finally to our Easter party. Here we know a spiritual mystery. We know that essentially all the religions of the world have this one thing in common. If we have the understanding, we will find that the 72 names of God will always be there. In our large book, there's a plate showing the 72 names, by the way. 72 names for one God. This is a story. Each of these names is a semantic term arising from the experience of a people. It applies to some who gain great culture and to others who are still in primitive conditions. It applies to those who survive persecution for the sake of truth. And it applies to those who tried and failed. It becomes a part of the life of every living creature. In some mysterious way, the most primitive person in the jungles of Africa or the East Indies all have some semantic reality. And this fact is probably our greatest safety. If we accept semantically that honesty is right, we can go on then without waiting much for honesty to pass through all these multitudinous stages. It gradually becomes evident, as it did for the last million years, that those things which are the virtues of life have survived and will survive. And those things which are the vices of life perish, and nations perish with them. There is no need to ask for final proof of integrity. It is in every page of history. It is in every experience of private citizens. There are realities that are above semantic question. One of those realities is truth, which must inevitably survive. Yet there will be all kinds of definitions of truth. Truth may be regarded as the definite effort to get a witness to tell the truth in a court of law. I probably won't anyway. But the truth in principle is that all things shall be measured by their intents, by their realities, their virtues, and their meanings. And truth, therefore, becomes a symbol of honesty, virtue, integrity, patience, kindness, peace, love, self-sacrifice, service. All these things are parts of truth. Therefore, they can be fitted into the semantic picture. They will change in detail with each generation. But in no generation will peace fail if it is used. And in no generation will honor fail if it is actually applied. The reason these things have never succeeded so well is because no people, or very few people, have made the tremendous sacrifice necessary to prove them. So we are now in the 20th century, moving in toward the 21st century. We bring with us several great holidays of two of the two most important in our religion, being Christmas and Easter. These become symbols of the things that we all believe and should believe. First, the truth is born into this world for the salvation of mankind. And that this truth is very simple. Love one another. Keep the peace. Be honest. Share equally. And put the common good above all individual ambition and aspiration. This will mean something that will go on to the end of time and never change. We will believe this as long as we exist. This is a solid term. So we might as well start now. So instead of just simply sending that Easter card, which is a kindness, no one should deny that it comes from the heart. It is something. But with it, let us see if we cannot transform some part of our life to match the card. If it is something in which we should learn to be kind, or to be generous, or to understand each other, let these things grow with the card. And where it may be a dissent to a stranger whom we have not known for a long time, let it be accompanied by a letter or a note asking more about that person, the ways in which we can get together again, the achievements that have made life better, and if there have been sorrows, that we should share them together. Semantically speaking, there has to be a real meaning for these, rather than simply a physical expenditure of 2 bits on a 25-cent stamp. All of the good things are there, but we only take the surface of them. Twice a year, maybe we send a card. The rest of the year, we never even speak to each other. This is not good semantics. It's not good religion. It's not good history. And it certainly isn't good policy in the perpetuation of the word. We are going to face the simple fact that the 21st century, if we are going to survive it, and we should, and we will probably, but it should be an improvement. It should be that old vices have died. New virtues have been born. And some things that were both vices and virtues have been tempered and mended so that they all add to progress. For after all, our great good in life is not the words we speak, but the use we make of the thoughts behind those words, so that every time we say, I love you, we are prepared to overlook faults. We are prepared to be thoughtful. We are prepared to care and do the very things that are part of affection, not simply send a card and forget it for another year. We've got to get these virtues into action if we expect the world to get better. And we do expect it to get better. We want it to get better. We realize that it needs to get better. So we must try to do what we can to make sure that it does. So with the end of semantics, I think we have an interesting weapon. We have an interesting instrument for the achievement of better things when we study the meaning of the words we use every day. And perhaps to get rid of a few words which we've come to understand are not very desirable. We can gradually increase the vitality of our resolutions and our integrities. And in so doing, we will build towards that 21st century that is to come. For after all, the final word of all is love. And as one poet, mystic poet, says, the world from its pain will never be made whole till the word made flesh be the word made soul. And in this point, out of the struggle for something better, comes this mysterious thing which is called the soul, the golden wedding garment for those who go forth to the marriage of the Lamb. The golden wedding garment is the soul of good deeds. It is all the virtues and beauties we have got. It is the improvements we have made, the transformation of body into soul, which is also the secret of alchemy. For in alchemy, all things of matter are gradually transformed into the instruments of the spirit. And in this way, we will always make Easter a very significant day. Thank you.